I wonder how many of you have played the game Seen It? Any of you played Seen It? A few of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you who haven't played Seen It, it's basically a game, it's a board game, but it involves using a DVD and you're kind of, it's a movie and TV trivia game. So if you're quite the fan of watching TV or movies, you play this game and it puts your knowledge to the test. Now, you can get specialized Seen It. So in our household, for example, we often will play Star Trek Seen It. Have I ever not won? No. We actually... I'm given a handicap, you see, when Ruth and I play, because she only has to go around the board once, but I've got to go around twice, and I still win. So one of the mini games within Seen It, one of the things that you have to do to progress in the game is you might have to play where a character from a particular TV show is blurred. And within 30 seconds, the image gradually gets clearer and clearer and clearer, and the first person to correctly guess the character is the one that wins. And obviously, if you can guess the character while it's still blurry, you've got more chance of winning. So I thought we might give that a go this morning and see how well we can do together at recognizing famous people in a blurred image that gradually will get clearer and clearer. Okay? You up for giving it a go? Super. This is the first famous person. Are you sure it's the Queen? There we are. Well done. So if we were playing Seen It, those of you that immediately got there with Her Majesty the Queen, you would have gotten the point for that turn. Let's try another one. Ruth did say to me, I showed her this, and she said, are you not making them too easy? And I said, well, I could pick some really obscure character from history that only I would get, but we'd be there for ages, so well done, Abraham Lincoln. Let's try the next one. Ed Sheeran, well done. That's one for the younger folk in our congregation today. Anyone know when Ed Sheeran's playing Hampden? First, second, and third of June, yes. That's part of the reason I chose Ed Sheeran, because he's coming to Hampden. And hopefully we as a congregation will be able to do something just to reach out to the community on that day. One more to see if you can guess who this person is. Oh, you're not quite so sure this time. We'll make it a bit clearer. Any guesses? Bill English. Because who doesn't know Bill English? He's not even here this morning to enjoy that. I thought I need to put one up of someone on the congregation, and Bill, unfortunately, is one of the few members that has a photograph on our church Facebook page. So I thought, well, that'll do. So there we are, Bill English. Now, part of what we were doing there was recognizing people. Now, some people we recognized almost immediately, even although the screen was very blurry. Certainly when it took maybe for that image to become just a wee bit clearer before we were able to correctly say that's who the person is. And I wanted to ask you this morning, what are the kinds of things that we can use to recognize people? How do we recognize people? Can be their voice. Certainly if you know someone well and you hear them speaking, you can recognize by their voice. Any other ideas about how we recognize people? Physical appearance, yep. If you know what someone looks like. Sorry? The way they walk, yep. It's true, everyone has a natural gait that helps us to recognize them. One very important way of recognizing someone, you have to know who they are. True? If none of you had known who the Queen was, or Abraham Lincoln, or Ed Sheeran, or Bill English, you would have been absolutely stuffed this morning. You would have had no clue who was on the screen. Even if you could see their physical appearance, even if you could hear their voice, you had to know who the person is in order to recognize them. And actually, I suppose it's easier for us to explain how we can recognize people we maybe don't know so well. If it's someone that you know really, really well, yes, voice can help and appearance can help, but sometimes if it's someone you know really well, you just know who they are, don't you? If you meet up with them or if you see them at a distance, you just, something within you, you just know who this person is, and it doesn't take much effort at all. In the Bible passage that we had read this morning, we have this encounter of two disciples on the Emmaus Road with Jesus. Now, Jesus meets them, and when he sees these two disciples, the Bible says they're downcast. What that means is they're sad, they're really, really down. In fact, they're so upset that you could probably see it in the way that they were walking. They're just weighed down by something. And Jesus comes to them and he says to them, what's wrong? Why are you so sad, so unhappy? And they explain to him that they're so unhappy because their friend, their master, their teacher, Jesus, had been put to death. Now, as Jesus walks with them, he goes on to explain to them, and he says, Jesus had to die. And what we read in verse 27 is that he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus actually was able to teach them as they walked along. Now, we have a situation where the two disciples, they've seen Jesus, they've heard him speak, they've also encountered him doing something that Jesus did because he regularly taught people. That was something he was known for. But the Bible says that they did not recognize him. They saw him, they heard him, and he was doing something he was known for, but they did not recognize him. Anyone have any idea why that might be? Because they thought he was dead. This happens to me if I see someone in a context, in a place where I don't expect to see them. It can take me a few minutes to place a person. And it's even more awkward if they recognize me immediately, because then you're kind of playing catch up. Who are you? How do I know you? Where do I know you from? And why don't I recognize you right now? In a much more serious way, these disciples did not expect to see Jesus on the road to Emmaus because they genuinely believed that Jesus was dead. So even although this man would have looked like Jesus and sounded like Jesus and did the things that Jesus did, they didn't make the connection. They didn't realize that this actually was Jesus, because as far as they were concerned, Jesus was dead. There was no possible way that he could be with them on the Emmaus Road. It was impossible, and so they didn't recognize him at first. But then something changes, because as they travel, they reach the village where they're stopping, and this man that is Jesus, but they don't recognize him, he's going to go on, and they say to him, no, come in. Come in and stay with us for a night. And so he says, okay. And they sit down around a table, and then Jesus does two things. He takes the bread, he breaks it, and he prays. He gives thanks for the bread. And suddenly, they recognize Jesus. Now, I don't know what it was that suddenly brought Jesus into their minds. I don't know what help them make that connection. But I wonder, 4 days before that event, they would have been sitting at a table with Jesus when Jesus also took bread and broke it and gave thanks through prayer. I wonder if that moment was so ingrained in their memory, because that was one of the last times they saw Jesus alive. I wonder if that was such a powerful memory that they realized that this person who looks like Jesus, who sounds like Jesus, who does the things that Jesus does, and now has broken bread and given thanks like Jesus, well, there can only be one explanation. That it is Jesus that's before them. Now, the moment that they realize that it's Jesus, the Bible says he vanishes. He disappears. Now, we don't know how Jesus did that. We don't know the explanation behind it. But what we do know is that Jesus, although he is a human being like you and like me, he was also fully God. Now, before his crucifixion, all of Jesus' power as God in human form was focused on humanity, healing the sick, bringing sight to the blind, driving out demons. All of his power was focused on our good. Now, after his resurrection, we see that Jesus is somehow able to use more of the power that he has to do what we might call supernatural things. Now, supernatural doesn't mean ghosties and ghoulies and things like that. Supernatural just means something that's not natural, not normal. It's bigger than what we would expect. We don't expect people to just disappear. So Jesus was using his power in a supernatural way. And so the disciples then run back to tell that they too have seen Jesus. Now, today is Easter Sunday, but today also has another name. Do any of you know what the other name for today is? I'll give you a clue. It's the 1st of April. April Fool's Day. It's a day when folk like to pull pranks on one another, maybe be a wee bit silly. There's a church back in Motherwell where I did my probation, not the one I did my probation in, but they like to put up a wee April Fool, and this morning there was a picture of their sanctuary, cinema seating, all in. Someone had photoshopped that. So it's a day for a bit of fun and a bit of silliness where we like to wind each other up. But there are some people today who will believe that Jesus' resurrection is like an April Fool. They'll believe that it was fake, that it was made up, that it didn't really happen. But Jesus' resurrection is not an April Fool. It's not made up. It's not fake. And there's lots of evidence that we can look at that when we go through it all, the best conclusion is that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Now, we don't have time this morning to go through all of that because we'd be here for the best part of the day. But in this passage from Luke, we have one very strong piece of evidence that Jesus really did come back to life. The first thing we need to remember is that Luke, who wrote this gospel, he was a doctor. Luke was very focused on ensuring that there was an accurate record of the life of Jesus. Now, in some respects, Luke, he didn't have an agenda. He didn't want to create something that showed that Jesus was more than what he was. All he wanted was to record what actually happened. He wanted a historical record. So when we read Luke's gospel, we can be fairly confident that what Luke is writing is the truth. Because if he was in any way unsure, he would not have included it in his gospel. At the very beginning of Luke's gospel, we read that he's actually writing it for his friend, Theophilus. He says, "My dear Theophilus, I'm writing this to you so that we can have an accurate record of Jesus' life." So Theophilus wouldn't have been happy if Luke made it all up. And Luke himself, as that doctor who was convinced that he had to write an accurate account, he wouldn't have been happy to make bits of it up. So we know that it's true. It's a true account. Now, because it's a true account, we can therefore take it as true that the disciples genuinely didn't recognize Jesus at first. You see, if Luke did want to make up the story, if he wanted to just make up a fiction, he would have had the disciples recognize Jesus straight away as proof that Jesus had risen from the dead. There's nothing to be gained in the disciples not recognizing Jesus at first. But if this account is true and the disciples really didn't recognize Jesus at first, there is only one explanation. They genuinely thought he was dead. They believed wholeheartedly, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Jesus they had seen on the cross was dead, that he was not coming back, that he was sealed in the tomb, and that was the end of the matter. But through time, they recognized that the man walking with them truly was Jesus Christ. They recognized him because he spoke through a prayer and because he broke bread. And they moved from a position of being convinced that he was dead to convinced he was alive. The only way that they could have made that transition as if they genuinely had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and if they genuinely had sat down and had a meal with him. It's the only explanation for them going from totally convinced that Jesus was dead and never coming back again to being totally convinced that he was alive and had walked with them on the road. And so we too today can be convinced, can celebrate, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead to prove that God had defeated death and that there now existed a new promise that all who believe in Jesus shall also rise from the dead and live forever in the new creation. Many of Jesus' friends did not recognize him when he first rose. And this detail is encouraging because it shows us that this is not a made-up story. It's a real historical account of what actually happened. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And so for us, today is a day of anticipation and of celebration. We celebrate today because we know that Jesus really has risen from the dead, and because he has risen from the dead, one day we too, who believe in Jesus, will also experience resurrection to new life. And we anticipate today because we anticipate when this will happen. We look forward to the time when we will rise from the dead, we will live in the new creation, all of the bad things in this world will be gone because God will have dealt with them, and we will live with him for all eternity, and with those who are faithful to him. And so I hope today that you can go to celebrate, to be joyful. No matter your circumstances, no matter what struggles you face, I hope you can find joy today because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Let us pray. There is so much, O Lord, that we do not understand about Jesus' resurrection, about the things he was able to do, about the way that resurrection happens, all of these things, Lord. But if we know that if they were important, you would have revealed them to us. Instead, what you have revealed is the simple truth that we just need to believe. That Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died for our sin and rose again, promising us new life. And because he rose from the dead, we can celebrate give thanks and praise you this day, because what was true of Jesus becomes true of us as his followers. Help us to celebrate in you today, O God, and worship you in the name of our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.